Welcome to Valorant-based Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language Valorant-based Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. This is episode 123. My name is Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. His name is Matt. You can reach him at SailRacer. Reach us on Twitter at ValorantBAmericana, our website, ValorantBAmericana.weebly.com. Matt, a couple weeks after having the Champions League intro song as part of our intro, this week, as our listeners have heard, we have Peter Schilling's Major Tom intro into this one. It was a little bit longer. How have we not been sued at this point?
Because nobody listens and nobody cares.
Oh, womp womp. But actually true.
I think if we were on YouTube, it'd probably get us taken down. But I would argue this is probably fair use, so I bet we're okay.
Oh, let's hope so. Peter Schilling, Major Tom, the maxi reveal, it's all here, folks.
Glorious.
Unless they hear this and take it all down, which in that case, they're probably doing public service right there. So. Let's go to part one, some shout outs here. Valby Bingo, I wasn't able to get it together. Sorry, Dan O'Hagan, you did a great job. Pod predictions, it's over. Matt, myself, Austin, and Jeff, we all are awful at this, but Matt, you won the week with a 4-5 record, but Jeff was able to hold on with an overall record of 145 wins to 153 losses to dethrone myself. Matt, you are the vice meister, though, so that's kind of the word of the day around these parts. You had a record of 139 wins, 161 losses. You're only 6 behind. I barely avoided relegation. Got Austin on tiebreakers there. Sadly, Jeff won the Stuttgart bet and he won the pod bet, but his beloved Cologne was relegated. So any words of congratulations or condolences to Jeff, who really hasn't been on the podcast since Seiru Grassi started tearing things up.
But Jeff, I hope you like getting up real early because those Zweite Bundesliga starts California time are going to be punishing. Do you think Colm has Colm TV or maybe Billy Goat Vision or something?
I know for a fact they have Hennes Cam. So if you go onto Hennes Cam, you can see Hennes, their mascot, in the zoo in Cologne. So I know, and based on how Cologne has played this year, that might be a little bit more entertaining. Sorry, Jeff. The OFC Fantasy SC Cool Runnings won with almost 200 points this week, while Lukestad, last year's winner, beat Village Footy by 2 points, but it wasn't enough. As Village Footy, give those guys a listen, by a score of only 7 points, is the 2023-24 OFC Fantasy Meister there. So Sporting Director Doug finished third. Peter took eighth. Ted took 14th. Carter from Pittsburgh, who I just met, took 15th. I took 20th, while my defunct team took 23rd and last. So there's something to celebrate there. OFC tip spiel. Peter from Omaha had a big week while Kai dug into the lead, but it wasn't enough. So congrats to our top three. I am Rob Holloway with 422 points, is in third. Kai had 429, and Peter wins with 440. On the relegation battle, David leapfrogged me with the best week of everybody. We had 10 people participate in this one. We had 30-ish people participate in the other ones. We're hoping to get more next year. We're going to reach out to the winners this week, but thanks to Sam Steinman, who listens and is from Indiana, he donated a 2021-2022 goalkeeping kit to one of our winners, and we're going to get another prize to one of our other winners. So we'll reach out to Peter and Village Footy here in a bit. So, Matt, you didn't participate this year. You know what? Going to go next year? Going to try and get some big prizes?
I'm always up for prize. I am going to try next year. I tried 2 years ago when we just first started it, and life got a little chaotic. And like Ted, I kind of let it fall off the back end of the transom. But I think this, I'm feeling a little bit of FOMO here with all the announcements, and I want to have something else to talk trash with you about. So I'll probably get signed up for it next year.
You could be like me and sign up and have two teams hoping to add up the results of both those teams and still not win at all. I was really excited going into this Sunday because I was like, all right, the Valpy Frauen are going to play this week. Turns out they had the weekend off. They're not going to play until next week. So they still have two matches to go and are 2 points up. So we'll talk about them next week. But this is the big news. The U21 team won. So here's the breakdown. In the final match, the Kickers played at Hamburg, who were sixth place, while we hosted Hoffenheim's second team, who were in third place. What I liked is that Stuttgart took this very seriously. So Sebastian said they weren't going to call up a lot of the kids for the match against Gladbach because they wanted to win the regional league so they could get bumped up to the third tier. And in fact, it was live streamed in the dugout, which I thought was pretty cool. So Stuttgart went up to an early lead in both the first and the second half. Meanwhile, in Hamburg, David Hummel, who nobody knows, but he used to play for the Stuttgart youth system from 2017 to 2021, scored the opener against the poor Kickers in the 30th minute. 2 second half goals doomed them. They are stuck in the fourth tier again. We're getting bumped up. It was awesome because when they announced it during the Gladbach match, the crowd went nuts on this. So I know there's some people who are like, hey, the second team shouldn't be in the third tier. Well, the rules are the rules, and that's the way it is. I'm super excited about this. I think this is awesome. Just kind of added to the levity of the whole weekend. What about you?
I love it. And it's exciting for a number of reasons, but the biggest one for those of us who just mainly follow the first team is the impact this is going to have on young players coming through. We're going to be a more desirable club for younger guys to go play at because the third league is much bigger, more competitive, it's nationwide, whereas the fourth division's regional. So we're likely to draw some more talent. Our guys playing in the second team are going to have higher level competition. They'll come in more battle tested. This is good news for Stuttgart all around.
Yeah, I love this. It would seem to make the movement of players who are young a lot easier and more fluid now. They can kind of bounce back and forth. And exactly what you said, they're going to get the third division's got some good teams. So this is going to be some good competition for these guys. The Valby shop, so the Seiru and Dennis scarves must not be selling very well because they're on sale for almost half of what they used to be. They added two pretty classic t-shirts, a Bad Konstadt hoodie, two new scarves, and I really like the one. It's Stuttgart International, and on the back of it, it's got our now famous Knock Alder Scheisse lyrics on it. So I might have to get that one. It's like 17 euro. Anything that I mentioned catch your interest at all?
I love that scarf. I still wish I had grabbed one of those t-shirts when they're available. Might have to place a group order with you.
Yeah, there's some good stuff there. Looking at Val beers that are out there, former Val beers, boy, I sent you a bunch of info on this. I'm going to skip over it. There's just a lot of guys that are out there not doing very well. Tomas Castanares' team did really well, but this is kind of depressing. Gil and Luca and all those. So let's just skip through that a little bit. Future Val beers is equally depressing. Justin Diehl got suspended for going to a friend's wedding, so he didn't play in the last match that Cologne needed to win. So that's not great. Yannick Keitel played in Freiburg's loss and strikes last game, so that's not great. And Nick Voltamata, who's coming and at least had 17 passes in his game, said that Bremen really didn't treat him very nicely, so that's why he's leaving. So not a lot of stuff there, but there is some bittersweet news here. No longer Val Bear. So after the match, Stuttgart said goodbye to Florian Schack, the backup goalie. They did a really cool thing of having him be on the bench for this match. I thought was really neat, even though they had Bredlow. Therapist, longtime therapist, Gerhard Varn is gone, too. He's been there since the 1990. Mo, Lilling, Genki, Massimo, and technical director Nate Weiss, which is kind of odd, are all gonzo. Thoughts on any of these folks coming, going, mostly going?
No, it makes sense why, you know, the guys that we know about, at least, why they're going. I do think it was really classy to have our third keeper on the bench for the match. Nice little touch. And love it when the team takes good care of the players, especially when they're moving on.
Yeah, the one that I always like the guys with history, like Gerhard, who's been there since 1990. He played for Stuttgart in the 70s during their promotion season, but had a number of injuries and has been a therapist for, boy, three decades. That's pretty impressive. So that'll be a bit of a loss there. I like the Michael the Kit Man. He was down in beer with Angelo Stiller. I don't know if you saw that video, and he crushed it. So that was pretty awesome. Genki Haraguchi, I had a soft spot for this guy. Yeah. There were some really nice pictures on Twitter or Instagram that Andre Chase and Hiroki Ito sent out. I always thought this guy must be a great locker room guy because he was on the bench all the time. I think there was only one or two games he wasn't. And I think that was around the time his kid was being born. So this guy just must have been an outstanding locker room guy. 100% understand why he's going. He's 33 years old, didn't have any kind of role with the team. But it's kind of sad to see him go, especially before our Japanese tour that's coming up.
Yeah, it's hopefully they'll do something with him on the tour, even if he's not with the team, you know, as a player. You know, going to Japan, have some more Japanese representation makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But he, like you said, he never really caught on.
The other news is the PGA Championship today in the United States, one of the four majors in the golf world, was won by the grandson of Richard Molly Schauffele, who is Xander Schauffele, who his grandfather played for Stuttgart in the 1920s and was part of the promotion season. He's one of the great athletes for Germany and for Stuttgart back then. So congratulations to, well, I guess there's a Stuttgart connection there. Old Val Bears. The reason why I'm throwing this out there, and if you've listened to our shout-outs before, this one is going a little bit lengthy, but there's a reason for this. Poor Daniel Ginchek couldn't save Duisburg from relegation from the third tier. But Koulibaly was able to help Mount Pelier stay in the French league. Totally nailed that pronunciation. Carlos Mane scored two goals to help his Turkish league team move out of the relegation fears. Dino's West Ham, his team is going to finish mid-table. They weren't able to do the world a favor and beat Man City today. Borna's Ajax is looking good after a horrid start. They might get in the Conference League now. Endo's Liverpool is going to finish in the Champions League spot in Klopp's final season. One of your former favorite players, Oral Mangala, scored a 90-minute winner last week for their fight, Lyon, conference qualification. The reason why I'm bringing all this up is every week we hear how we lose all these guys from Endo to Sasha, etc. Well, outside of Endo, I'm curious how many of them are super happy for the club. I bet they really are. But man, sometimes the grass isn't always greener because it's pretty green in Stuttgart right now.
Yeah, I don't think too many of these guys would trade their current position or stick to their current position over a switch back to Stuttgart right now. Dino and West Ham, that's a good mid-table finish. Endo's, I think he'd like some more playing time. The Liverpool fans that I know endlessly talk about how they don't understand why he's not getting more time on the field. But who knows? It's a brand new day with Klopp leaving. So yeah, most of these guys, you know, I was sad when they left, but you know, I'm not feeling so bad that they're not around right now.
It's a little bit of a homer take right now, but outside of Endo, would any of those guys start for Stuttgart right now? I want to say Oral Mangala, but I haven't followed him for a couple of years now, and I don't know if he's replacing Angelo Stiller. And I mean, Ada Carazor is probably the weakest player there, but he serves a very defined purpose. So maybe Endo takes his spot. I mean, complete homer take, but outside of Endo, I mean, I don't think Dino's getting a starting spot on this squad.
I think Endo would swap out for Carazor if he came back. Everybody else, I think, would be a bench player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You guys left us. You suck. That's it. That's all there is. That's all there is to it there. This took a turn. All right, final watch party of the year. Shout out to Doug for hosting in Youngstown. Carter for driving in from Pittsburgh. It was awesome to meet him. Justin, the owner of Casual Pint, for doing this. Denise from Kent. And a big shout out to Simon from Valpe International and Valpe International themselves. Matt, you've talked to them before. We've had some Zoom sessions trying to set stuff up here in the States. They gave us some awesome swag that we were able to hand out, some lanyards, some scarves, some kits, a signed kit that we awarded to the OFC member of the year, which was Doug. His tattoo, I'm sorry, that just showed a level of dedication you can't kind of dispute there. So I had a blast. We had about 17 people there, about 8 or 9 were hardcore Stuttgart fans. It was just awesome talking to Carter, who's been a fan forever. And I think he said something to the effect of, I've been alone in the wilderness for so long, and now I found my kind of my community here. So a shout out to Doug, shout out to Simon, shout out to Bobby International. I mean, It is something we're trying to grow here. I know you're thinking about doing stuff in Michigan. We got a group out in Minneapolis that's hopefully going to grow. But I just had a blast. It was a 90-minute drive, which wasn't easy. But, you know, hanging out for a 4-0 win, can't ask for much more.
That's, if you're going to do it for a big victory, right? Yeah. And I think awarding the jersey for the tattoo, that's a fair trade. And, yeah, totally earned. Sweet tattoo. Now he's got a sweet signed jersey to go with this.
Yeah, so shout out to those guys. Shout out to the newest member of our OFC, Ted's baby. He put a picture out on Twitter, and he was just milking the, I don't know, all the likes and all that stuff. Fatherly words of wisdom to the new dad and the new member of the OFC.
They always say sleep when the baby sleeps, which is good advice, but it's completely unrealistic. You do you, do what's best for you and your family, and you're going to get a lot of unsolicited advice, and they can all pound sand.
I like some of the names that are OFC proposed. Europa Lugers, Dax, Fritzelina, Fritzletta Honus. I mean, there's a lot of winners there.
No, every one of them's a gem.
Pod Beverages. So in honor of Dennis Undav, he came into the locker room, and he was having a mixed vodka drink in his multivitamin drink. Today it's all about celebrating, he said. I love it. I am having a red stripe because I am not giving up on this product placement, Matt. We are going to hashtag them into oblivion until they give us at least, I don't know, one free beer. What are you having?
I wish I had some red stripe to join you. I'm having a little Irish whiskey from a small distillery my brother found when he was there not long ago. I don't even remember the name of it.
I don't know. I saw the video, and it looks like you're having a Dennis Undav drink, that a little bit of energy drink, a little bit of alcohol in there, which is a smart, it's an athletic move.
You're lifting the curtain of mystery here, Travis.
The final man of the match by the OFC, 70% voted for this fella. I bet you know who it is, but who do you think was the vice man of the match in this one? Big match versus Gladbach.
I think the vice man, would have been my vote for this, Enzo Mio, because that assist that he had on the Gerasi goal to chip a field player to open Gerasi up for header, that is the ballsiest assist I've ever seen in the Bundesliga and probably top five all time.
The only reason I'm going to disagree with you is I think we saw it a couple weeks ago when Dennis Undav had this similar shovel pass to Leo Stergio. And that one, it's almost like Enzo copied that a little bit. But no, the OFC is nothing if not romantic. It was Seiru Gerasi in a, you know, runaway, which makes sense. He had a brace, almost had a hat trick. And Silas, who everybody's loving his comeback, was the vice man of the match in this one.
That long run he had to score his goal was ridiculous. And I think the goal was about 50-50 luck versus skill. But he had a lot of skill to get there and twisted the defense inside and out. Well-deserved goal for a guy who's had a really rough season. Nice to see him have some success.
My favorite part about that whole play was the fact that Wu Yang was able to get an assist out of that somehow. If I ever had an assist in professional sports, that would be it.
Yeah. That's some homer scorekeepers there, padding the stats a little bit. I'm here for it.
Let's move into part two and look at the match itself. So we were all pretty confident going into this one. It's kind of funny. I got two quotes here for you. One was from Dennis Undav. He says, quote, 3 months ago, I said that the two best teams were playing in Germany, end quote, referring to Leverkusen and to Stuttgart, and everyone was beating me up. I think I was right, right? You can all apologize to me now, end quote. Love this guy. Or Sebastian Hoeneß said, quote, there's no more clever sentences that will come out of my mouth because I'm overwhelmed, end quote, referring to the end of the season. He could be on our podcast because that's exactly how I feel that we operate, with no clever sentences. I mean, before we dive into the details of the match, comment on those two quotes.
The vibes from these two are just immaculate. It's like they don't listen to this, but it's like they listen to this. It's like they're in the group chats, like they're hanging out on the Discord. They know what's up. And I love how just open and honest Undav is. Mm-hmm. And it's like he has zero F's left to give. And he goes, hey, I've made it. I'm here. I'm established. Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be honest and tell people what I think. And I love it. Love every minute of it.
We'll talk about this next week because we're not going to get into it now about the future of some of these players and all that stuff. But he said, to your point, knowing more than they kind of let on, he was mentioning about Seiru's buyout clause and how low it is and how obviously somebody's going to come grab him. So he knows what's up. He's not hiding it at all. So it's really refreshing to have a guy like that, on your team. So the first 10 minutes of this match was kind of back and forth a little bit. Gladbach had nothing to play for. They had secured survival in what has been a miserable season for them. We were going for mythical second place, which we'll talk about later, but really, it was out of our hands. There were chances for both sides. Ito and Neubel had some nice saves, and Dennis Anton and Maxi had chances. Neubel had some really nice saves later. Let's just dive into him right now. I mean, a clean sheet at home is awesome. Whenever the defense did break down, he was there. Hiroki was there. Anton was there. But Alex Neubel, it was hilarious because he went into the stands after the match, and after a few minutes, he was like, I've been on dry land for too long. I need a beer. So... I love the way he's playing. I loved his attitude after it, but let's give Alex a little bit of love before we dive into the offense here.
It's so great to see Neubel playing with such confidence, and it's been an interesting ride for him this season. He's had a couple games where he completely fell apart. And the conversation from us after that is always, how's he going to bounce back the next game? And each game he showed, he can put it away, come back, play his game. And what we want to start seeing from him, and I feel like we're seeing this as the season went on, if he has a bad moment, that he's able to make that shift in game. And yeah, I had a bad play, but it's 10 seconds later and I'm a goldfish and I'm back on top of things. I got this. I think the only thing that made more saves in this game than Neubel was the woodwork. put so many shots off the bars, but it's so great seeing him do so well, and especially great seeing him do so well while Bayern stumble after they passed him to keep Ken back in their net.
It's funny too, because there was something on the stats today that I saw where if you look at Manuel Neuer's XG, which I guess is the thing they can do for goalies, he's the third worst goalie in the Bundesliga right now. Based on allowing goals more than he should have. So yeah, I'm with you. I think we got Alex for at least another year. And then I think they're going to call that loan option and we'll see, but we'll talk about that in the future though. But you're right. He played really outstanding because it was a weird match where if he doesn't play that well, all of a sudden it's a 1-1, 2-2 type of goal, but he was just rock solid. Anton was rock solid. Ito had some great blocks in the back. But let's jump into the offense. The crossbar did most of the work for Gladbach during this match. I mean, it stopped Jamie. It stopped Maxi. It stopped Dennis. Or the goalie at least stopped Dennis. It stopped Seiru. It was a bit of a slow second half, but I want to talk about each one of these goals. Let's talk about the Seiru goal. The play, it was passed into him. He passes it back to Enzo. Enzo has that shovel pass. And it was the most slow motion goal I've seen. Everybody could see it. The goalie could see it. Seiru could see it. Everybody could see it. It was one of those things where this wasn't a lightning fast shot. It was just this lob and there was nothing anybody could do to prevent it. It was brilliant.
It was like the scene in the 80s movie where everything goes slow motion and one of the characters is going, no, but in real time. And like, I was watching some low tier minor league soccer today and stuff in that game was happening significantly faster than this goal. It was crazy. But just as I said earlier, the gutsiest play by Enzo, because it wasn't just a little shovel pass. He chipped the ball over top of the defender. It was like neener, neener, haha. And then just Gerassi headed it where the goalie couldn't get it, and that's all she wrote.
Well, I love how Enzo passed into Seiru. Seiru passed it back to Enzo, and then Enzo had that just beautiful pass to him. The ability of Seiru to just get pace on that ball and put it in a place that the goalkeeper couldn't get it was just – because it wasn't coming in with heat at all. And that was the first time during the match where Jeff, who is the Cologne fan who used to have Seiru, sent me a effing Gerassi text. Then he sent me another one later. Otta gives him a pass, and Seiru just has such great footwork. The bar did help him on this one a little bit, but this was probably the most boring goal of the match, where Otta passes it into him. He kind of does a little stutter step, turns the defender around, is able to get off the post. I mean, he almost had a hat trick. I mean, 30 total goals, 28 in the Bundesliga. What else is there to say about this guy?
The only thing I think we missed out seeing from Gerassi is what a full season would have looked like, because he missed time because of the Africa Cup of Nations. He missed time due to minor injury and illness. Mm-hmm. And Harry Kane finished ahead of him in goals, but not that far ahead of him.
Yeah, was it 7-8?
I think it was 7 or 8. So if, you know, Gerassi was on a, like, what, a 1.6 goal per game pace at some point, he gets those other, you know, handful of games back. It could have been a race for the Golden Boot at the very end as well.
It was crazy. Then you've got Wu Yang's goal and you got Silas's goal. I mean, Wu's goal, that was just a great crossover to him. Great shot. And that guy, I don't know if you want to talk about the goal or just the fact that those two have become super subs at this point. Neither of them probably had the seasons they were hoping to have. Yeah. Silas, I think, was replaced by Jamie. Wu was in the Asian Cup, so he was out for a bit. But those guys have been coming on and really coming into form. I don't know if it was the right time. Maybe it would have been good a little bit earlier, but Wu is all of a sudden, he hasn't had a goal forever, and now he's got two in what, the last three games?
What's awesome is Wu Yongjong is now in the conversation for really important players for this team going into next year. And we've got somebody who can fill a role. And, you know, we keep talking about how many more games there's going to be next year because of the Champions League challenge. Let me say that one more time. We're playing in the Champions League next year. It's going to be a lot of minutes to go around. And him coming on right now is great because it gives him something really positive to build off of in the offseason. And hopefully we see him just hit the ground running when the season starts. And he's a super sub, or trading off starts with, you know, Furridge maybe on that left-hand side. That'd be fantastic.
You mentioned hitting the ground running. So let's jump into the Silas goal, because he actually almost had the assist. They gave the assist to Seiru because Silas was coming down the wing, pass it over, and Seiru was able to get a boot on it. And Wu had not really an open goal, but it had a really good touch to put it away. But let's talk about the Silas one. I mean, he got the ball back initially, and then he was able to pass it off, and then Wu passed it to him. That was something from video games. Dan O'Hagan was just talking about how it's funny because we've been talking about how Silas just hasn't gotten back to his old form. And it's been a couple of years now since that injury.
Mm-hmm.
Dan O'Hagan couldn't go stop just gushing. And being at the watch party, we're watching this, and it was like watching a FIFA video game unravel. How he was able to get that shot off, because the defender had blocked him. I think the defender thought, oh, I'm in front of the ball, I've stopped this guy. And then he comes around him and kicks the ball in. Just getting that on target would have been impressive. Putting that in is amazing.
It's like when you're playing FIFA against your buddy or your kid who doesn't play all that much, and you've got these sophisticated tactics you're trying to throw in, and they're just over there button mashing. And all of a sudden the dude does a pirouette on top of the ball and zips around three guys and puts it top corner, you know, bar down like nothing's going on. It's just, you're right. It was a FIFA goal. It was bonkers. I kept waiting for him to fall. Like, he looked like he was about to stumble any second, kept his feet, just made some immaculate moves. It was amazing.
He brings a different skill set to the pitch. Like, defense has never been his thing. I mean, I understand why Jamie is in front of him. Jamie is, I think, bigger, more robust, it plays stronger on defense. But it was just great to see that. What a way to cap what has been a difficult season for him. So that was awesome. I do want to say, before we move on to final thoughts and reality, the Dennis Undav play to get the ball to Silas on that third goal. Do you remember, like, he was getting pulled and tugged and shoved? And they mentioned on the broadcast about kudos to the referee for allowing that play to happen. Dennis wanted a goal really bad. He's going to get a yellow card for diving, you know, in the end. But what strength that guy had to get the ball to Silas. I want to give a little love to Dennis. I mean, we love Dennis, obviously. But that was an awesome setup play to get the ball to Silas, eventually for Wu to put it away.
Dennis had just another super solid game. And really that the assist on the Wu goal should have been his. It was an incidental bounce off of Silas's foot. But he put what, one or two off the woodwork. He's in the right spot at the right time. And I think if he had a few more opportunities, he'd have a few more goals. And he doesn't have those opportunities just because Gerassi is there too, and he's unstoppable. So Dennis has been like, we couldn't have asked for a better guy to be the number two striker behind Gerassi, because he doesn't seem to mind that he's not the guy on the team. He carries himself like he is. He approaches things like he is. He plays on the field like he is. And that's exactly what we need, because sometimes people are going to bottle up Seiru, and that's going to leave Dennis a lot of extra space.
What I really liked about this match is that Dennis was all over the place. He was playing on the wings, the left side, the right side. Seiru was playing back in front. It was what we've seen all season long, where these guys aren't just static in a spot. They are so much, there's so much mobility and fluidity, flexibility to what they're doing. They are everywhere. And there were times where Dennis was on the left and the right. I'm like, Dennis reminds me of Charles Barkley from the NBA. If you remember Charles Barkley from the NBA, not Charles Barkley now, but Charles Barkley then, he wasn't the most athletic specimen, but he was power. You look at Dennis Undav, there's not a lot there where you're like, oh, this guy is, I'm guessing if you took, he took his shirt off, it wouldn't be like Dino Mavropanos ripped. And my wife would be like, well, who is that? But he generates so much pace and power from what he does. And it's almost like a Leo Messi, Diego Maradona thing. And please don't misconstrue what I'm saying here, but where their center of gravity is so much lower, they're able to get things done. It's almost like a Barry Sanders in NFL thing, where he's so slight of stature that he's able to do things that a Sasha Kalajic, who's very tall, just simply can't do.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Barry Sanders, because immediately where my head went when you started talking about that was football running backs. Mm-hmm. And like, we've had this at Michigan for the last couple of years, where we've had understatured, undersized running backs, but because they have that low center of gravity, they've got shifty feet, which Undav has. They've got good reflexes, good vision. That's like, Undav is in the right place all the time because he sees the game really well. And he's he's really smart about where he's supposed to be. And so he might not be that turbo imposing physical specimen. He's going to punish you if you make a mistake.
And Stuttgart has punished people all season long. Let's jump into the final thoughts and reality and some records here. So they jumped 14 spots, which tied Bremen's 1968 performance. Seiru has scored the opener 12 times, which is a tie in the Bundesliga history. 73 points, 23 wins. Seiru with 28 Bundesliga goals, and Dennis and Seiru with 48 goals total. And five potential players. It's fingers crossed, but five potential players on the German national team. Those are all records. What a time to be alive. I mean, to quote Sebastian, we're playing the Champions League next season, damn it, as he said to the whole crowd. I mean, this, we're going to dive into this more next week, and when we kind of break just what an amazing season this has been. But what an amazing game. It never seemed like it was in doubt. And in years past, if you're looking for like a coronation, they would kind of poop the bed, you know, type of thing. This, when we were in the second division and Mario Gomez's last game ever for the club, we ended up losing like 3-1 to Paderborn or somebody, you know, like that. You know, it was kind of a meh. This was just a fantastic bookend to what has just been a magical season. All of those records I just mentioned, does any of that stand out to you, or is it just too early to process?
It's all so amazing. And we've been having all season these pinch ourselves moments and wondering when we're going to wake up from the dream. The thing that stands out the most to me, aside from the most points we've ever had in a Bundesliga season, the most wins we've ever had in a Bundesliga season, this is a team that went from last year, the relegation playoff, to this year having five guys starting on a German team hosting the Europa Cup. This is a big deal in Germany, and there's a lot of pressure on the guys putting this team together, and they took five of our boys to make this happen for them. And I think that says a whole lot about how the narrative of Stuttgart has shifted, about how respected Sebastian Hoeneß is and these players have become. And it speaks really, really, really well for the future that we have with this team if we can just not screw it all up.
Yeah. To me, what's wild is that this isn't lucky, right? It's we've beaten all these teams this year. Bayern, Leipzig, Dortmund. We were the only team in the Bundesliga to get 2 points off of Leverkusen this season. I mean, this isn't like the year we had Corkut where it was lucky. It wasn't like those other season with Reno where we kind of surprised people with our wing play and our crosses. This is legit beatdowns of people. And this isn't like, and this is no offense to a Frankfurt or to a Heidenheim, God bless them, who are playing Europe next year. This isn't like we just kind of inched in, because most years there's four or five teams that are legit, and then there's team six, seven, or eight that kind of through happenstance are playing European play next season. They're probably like, oh God, why do we do that? This isn't the case for this team. This team not just earned it, but I like what Sebastian said earlier, is like we want to finish in the top four to show that we earned it. Well, boy, oh boy. You didn't just finish in the top four, pal.
Yeah.
You're top two.
Well, and I'm excited for the next time I'm out and about. Like I had my Stuttgart jersey on at the minor league game I was at today. But just talk to more people who know vaguely of the Bundesliga. And it's not just going to be like, oh, are you a Bayern fan? Now, like Leverkusen is making headlines on national, you know, global sporting outlets. They're getting love from like the men in Blazers who focus mainly on the Premier League. But we can also say like, hey, we're the only team that took them right to the line. And also, yeah, we kicked Bayern in the teeth.
All right, we need a segue to get to our next part. So which one do you like better? So Dennis Undav, after singing the Stuttgart International song with the crowd, criticized them and said, quote, it could have been better. We're working our asses off here, and that's the best coming from you, end quote. And then Alex Neubel said, hey, we've been stuck here for a half hour. We need some beer, end quote. So which one of those do you think is a better segue to get into part three, news and cues?
I think we need some beer.
Let's go see what Alex is doing right now. We'll talk to you in a minute.